Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. On Money FM 89.3, Tech Talk with Wong Kai Yee.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3, and when we started the segment Tech Talk to get analysis of the latest coming out of the tech world, we were always expecting gadget devices and software or games reviews, but this week we're talking about burning tech towers and Zoom bombers. What?
Yeah. Sounds like content from a dystopian novel. We're joined by Straits Times tech contributor Wong Kai Yee from the Straits Times, of course. Tell us what's all about. Now, Kai Yee, the top four UK mobile operators have issued a joint statement asking for help to stop people burning 5G towers. We know that multiple cell towers were targeted in the UK last week in an apparent arson attacks, of course, after online conspiracy theories have been falsely linking the spread of the coronavirus pandemic to the rollout of 5G. So tell us, what are these incredible conspiracy theories and how have these cell towers been targeted?
Like you guys said, it's a dystopian view. You know, you got people maybe in masks running out and burning cell towers and, you know, flaming torches and all that. It's all very strange times that we live in. So one of the theories, incredibly enough, claims that the coronavirus originated in the Chinese city of Wuhan because the city had been recently rolling out 5G, and it supposedly is now spread to other cities that are using 5G. So this is really spurious correlation here between rolling out 5G and, you know, the coronavirus happening. And just to be clear, this has absolutely no basis in scientific fact whatsoever. And there have been numerous fact checks both everywhere and in the UK as well, especially after a British tabloid newspaper actually highlighted these claims. So probably shouldn't give any airtime to these conspiracy theories, so to speak.
What's the carnage, though, the damage these attacks have inflicted?
So there have been reports of people physically actually burning 5G towers in the UK and telecoms workers being attacked, physically attacked.
Wow.
This sets the fight. This sets the fight against coronavirus back some too, I'm sure. Communication's important, right?
Exactly, because hospitals, they use 5G for communications to talk to the other departments in the network. And 5G networks in the UK, they're classified as critical national infrastructure, and I'm pretty sure it's the same everywhere else as well. And now the UK is in the throes of an ongoing pandemic, you know, the death toll is rising day by day. And these attacks are just coming at such an inopportune time, to say the least.
Okay, moving away from the UK and the 5G towers, we know that Taiwan's cabinet, Kai, has told government agencies to stop using Zoom video communications conferencing app. Now, this is the first country to do so. It's also the latest blow to the teleconferencing company as it battles criticism of its booming platform over privacy and security. So tell us, what advice is the Taiwan government basing this on, Kai?
Yeah, so the Taiwan government has now joined companies like, even Tesla has said that it will not use Zoom's app. And Taiwan has said, because this is due to mounting security concerns, the Taiwan's cabinet said in a statement on Tuesday, said that agencies should avoid using services like Zoom because of inherent security loopholes and that sort of thing. And also, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security also said in a memo distributed to top government cybersecurity officials that the software has indeed some loopholes in it that probably are quite worrying to privacy-minded individuals.
You know, Kai, because of what's going on, I tried a couple of these apps and platforms, and I got to say, Zoom's quality in terms of audio is a little superior to others, and probably why other people too jumped on the bandwagon, hence the booming platform. But what are some of the other apps you recommend that people can use? I'm finding here at SPH we use Hangouts, and that's actually all right too.
I think Hangouts is actually a really good app. It's not been updated in any sense of the word, both aesthetically and in terms of the back end. But Hangouts has been a very solid alternative for me. Also, remember good old Skype?
Good old, right.
Good old Skype, yes. Many people have been using them for the past few years, but unfortunately over, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, they rolled out a redesign after redesign, and people got really frustrated and upset about these redesigns, and so they dumped the app, unfortunately. But it still remains a very viable alternative. If you're looking at alternative, Skype is one. Also, Google Hangouts and also WhatsApp, if you're inclined to use your phones for work chats.
Okay.
So all these alternatives are quite good. But yes, like you mentioned, Howie, the superior audio quality and the ease of use of Zoom has made people sort of, you know, put these security concerns by the wayside and use it more frequently.
Oh, dear.
Okay, we're talking to Wong Kai Yee, Straits Times tech contributor, right here on a Tech Talk segment on Money FM 89.3. Now, you spoke about WhatsApp. If you have one person in a family who loves to forward viral messages, whether it's real or not, I mean, those days may be numbered. I mean, strengthening its efforts to kind of cut down on fake news messaging, a company WhatsApp has limited the number of people a viral message can be forwarded. Now, tell us, how does WhatsApp determine what is a viral message, and how is it halting its spread?
I love this. We have so
Big
many.
Big Brother is like watching, Kai Yee, listening, and everything else.
Well, they say WhatsApp has end-to-end encryption. I mean, I believe them for one, but I'm sure they use some sort of machine learning to determine what kind of messages are viral, right? Otherwise, you know, you can't literally have people watching messages every now and messages that we send. So they said on Tuesday that it will place new limits on the forwarding of messages, and they consider these messages quote-unquote highly forwarded, in other words, viral messages. So starting yesterday, actually, messages that have been identified as such, which is considered sent through a chain of five or more people, they can now
say, I send it to five people.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So if this message has gone through a chain of five or more people, they can now only be forwarded to a single person. Yeah.
Explain to me again. So I've forwarded a particular message where Kai Yee says, hi, Howie, how are you? And I decide to send it to Bernard, to JP, the rest of my colleagues, and I've done it five times. That's considered a viral message.
Exactly.
And after that, I can't forward it to a sixth person. Is that what you're saying?
That is what it seems to that's what WhatsApp seems to be saying on its blog. It made an announcement on April 7th, on yesterday. So it does set such limits. I actually do want to try this, like try to see how many messages, how many people I can forward my message
what
to.
If, obviously, what if you send it to a group chat that has, I don't know, 30 people, for example?
And then, yes, exactly. And then I think from that group chat onwards, people can only forward it to one person only.
Okay. All right.
Right. Okay. Because
I'm helping to circumvent the whole thing. I mean, can people circumvent this whole thing?
Well, obviously, people definitely can circumvent this. I mean, you can literally copy that message and paste it into another chat group, and then it carries on again. So it just this measure from WhatsApp just provides some friction in order to slow down the spread of these viral messages. Because, like I said, you can copy the message and forward it on, paste it into the group and forward it on.
Or if you're bored enough, you can just retype it.
Well, most of us working from home at computers, why not? Not that I'm advocating people.
Yes, we're just, maybe giving WhatsApp some ideas. This is what's happening, guys. You might want to look into it, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Kai, you have an interesting tactic for us today.
Right. So if you're sitting at home, which I'm pretty sure many people are doing right at the moment.
Sadly, no, Kai, but continue.
Well, if you're at home and you want to join in the fight against the coronavirus, you can actually use your computer to do that. So something called Folding at Home is a distributed computing project that's been around for almost two decades now. So when you install the software and join that project, it runs in the background and uses the spare graphics processing power on your computer to run calculations. So in this instance, Folding at Home, the project's name, is helping scientists understand the structure of the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19.
So sort of doing your bit. contributing by way of Wi-Fi or...
Yes, computing
and computer
extra
power.
Power. Exactly. And if you're a gamer, you have really powerful gaming hardware, this is perfect. And I mean, assuming you're not gaming during working hours, this would be excellent.
Security concerns, though, Kai?
Well, there are security concerns, clearly, with such distributed computing projects. But I think, I don't know, I don't want to sound cliche, but the greater good, it's for the greater good, you know?
Okay.
And I've actually used something similar like this. I think it was in the past where NASA was asking a bunch of people to do something similar to find new constellations and new galaxies. So this distributed computing idea has been around for some time.
And there was a happy end result for that particular NASA project? Pluto was discovered not to be...
I just knew that, I just left my computer on every night and I just kind of let it run.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't actually track it, but when I looked at the app on my computer, it seems to be working.
You're a good man, Kai. Wong Kai, Straits Times tech contributor. Thanks for joining us today, as always.
Thanks, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.